and a warm welcome to the Blue Team Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. On this week's episode, we'll look back on Saturday's trip to Dunfermline, preview this weekend's crucial game at home to Clyde, and the shock transfer of last season's top goalscorer Russell McLean. Was it the right move? Yes, this is the Blue Team Podcast once again. I am Colin Byers, with me, as ever, Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are you this week?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks, Colin. How are you?
Not too bad. This is officially Blue Monday, as they're calling it. But if we go with what the Samaritans are saying, just have a cuppa and get your grievances out. I think that's Blue Monday every week for us.
That's quite ironic that it's just one Monday for us, but yeah. Well, going by the weather as well, it is pretty chilly, so I can let them off this time, but aye, it's not been a good season, is it?
We've had a few Blue Mondays, let's put it that
way. Yeah, aye, that's true.
So we'll just, we'll crack on, get on to the, into the news from last week. So, as we'd expect, a lot of ins and outs. We spoke about the vast majority last week. Another two this week. The first one in last week was defender Leighton Bisland, right back, come centre half, so signed on loan from Dun United. He came in on Friday. Was at Cowdenbeath at the start of the season, was at Brechin last season, so is there a wee bit of experience in the Highland League and Lowland League levels, not so much in League One. I'll be honest, I was a bit surprised we brought in another right-sided defender. We sort of spoke about it last week in terms of the amount of players that we've got, having let Max Gillis go as well in the window. So for me, I was a bit surprised. What was your kind of take on another right-back coming in?
I think right-back's probably a position that's well down my list of requirements. I think you're certainly looking for goals. I think strikers and creative midfielders is top priority. So yeah, I think another right back coming in. I mean, I'm sure there's a bigger picture, but in the face of it at the moment, I can't see it making that much sense. You know, I'm sure Davey's got reasons for it, but to me, we've tried a few folk at right back as well over recent weeks. We've had Danny with Davey Wilson's play there, Jordan Brown's tried it. Whether he thinks it's an area that we really do need to improve on, potentially. But yeah, for me, it's well down the list of priorities.
The concerning thing for me is he's been at Dun United since the age of 8. He's now 18. His contract's up at the end of the season. He hasn't been, I don't think, anywhere sort of really near the first team as yet. He certainly hasn't made any first team appearances. And the fact he was out on loan at Cowdenbeath and at Brechin, which is obviously, you know, 2-3 levels down. He hasn't had much experience at this level, and we're really wanting players that you're wanting the experience, I guess, of at this level to try and get us out of this situation that we're in.
Yeah, I'll try to describe it as you're looking for ready-made players. You're not really looking at this stage for players to come in and try and develop. I know the way that the loans work. A parent club will put a player out, you want them to gain experience and develop, but then I think we're at that stage now in our campaign that we can afford that luxury. I think we're looking for players to come in and hit the ground running, get off the mark very quickly. So yeah, I'm surprised that a right-back's come in. Like I said, I'm sure there's a bigger picture, but on the face of it, to me, there is more pressing matters on the field to deal with first.
Yeah, and if, as I said, the fact that his contract's up at the end of the season would suggest that this is maybe his last chance to maybe try and impress Dun United in a way to try and get himself another contract or get a contract with another club elsewhere.
Yeah, and Dundee United have shown over recent years that putting players to Peterhead can be beneficial to them. Whether they feel that somebody that's played in the Highland League with Brechin, as you said, in Cowdenbeath, whether they feel he can make that step up. I think the fact, as you said, he's in his last 6 months of his contract, I think that's pretty telling. But like I said, I think there's more pressing matters for us to deal with him being in the right-back situation.
And that was on Friday. The biggest one, the biggest surprise came on Saturday, just a couple hours before kick-off. On Saturday's game was, in fact, it was Dunbarton's announcement that they'd signed Russell McLean from Peterhead for the remainder of the season. definitely came as a surprise to me. I think it came as a surprise to the vast majority of people. We understand it's a free transfer till the end of the season. It's not a loan. Some people were suggesting it might have been a loan, but it is on a permanent to the end of the season. His contract, like the vast majority of the squad, is up in the summertime. Surprised again with this one, given the fact he's been out most of the season, in fact all the season, with an injury just coming back, and a lot of folk were expecting him to maybe be the catalyst to try and help us out of this situation, but for whatever reason the manager decided to let him go.
I was one of them. I thought he'd come back from injury again Christmas time. He's just getting himself back into the fold, coming back from injury. I thought he'd be one of them players that would really help us propel up the table, but you know, try and get us out of this situation. For whatever reason, he's decided to move on. Davey's also allowed it. I think there's also a bigger picture in terms of that's another player and another season where the club have paid for treatment for an operation for an injury, and twice have been burnt with a free transfer and the player leaving. So I think there's maybe something, a wee bit of work to be done there. But if, you know, if Rusty didn't want to stay and he wanted to move, you kind of keep a player that within your squad that you didn't feel you get the best out of. So it's maybe one of them. It's best for all parties to cut their ties and, you know, let him go.
It's been a really bizarre situation from almost a year ago, back in April, May, the whole Rusty thing, when he signed, I think most of us thought it was just a one-year contract. It turned out it was a two-year deal, which was obviously good. Good commitment from him and the club. And then after the season was finished, we discovered that he was put on the transfer list by previous manager, Jim McAnally. And then, you know, sort of halfway through the summer pre-season, we've given him an operation to rectify the injury that he picked up at the end of the season, and then obviously there was repercussions with that, he was out even longer. So any chance of him moving on or the manager wanting him to move on was almost gone, because nobody was going to buy or bring in a player who's injured for what turned out to be for 6 months. So it's just a whole really bizarre situation, and I think it maybe just sums up how things are at the club at the minute. There doesn't seem to be sort of any rhyme or reason as to why things are happening.
No, it sort of sums up 2022 for the club, really, does it? A few bizarre decisions, things that, you know, just aren't quite right. Like I said, if you've got a player that you didn't feel is fully committed for one reason or another, I'm not saying he wasn't committed, but he maybe feels he wanted a new challenge, try something different, then so be it. He maybe has found under a new manager that he want to get on with him. Again, these things can happen with a new manager coming in. So I don't think it's the worst decision. Do I think he would have gotten his 15, 20 goals to help us this season? Probably not. But I certainly think it's one of the players that you'd have preferred to keep around the club to try and help you. We've been saying all season we're crying out for a striker. We've got one that was near enough coming back, and then obviously he's gone to Dumbarton. So it's cliched, but you know, you've sort of got to trust the process. You've got to trust what Davey's trying to do. And like I said, I'm sure with the same with the right back coming in, I'm sure there's a bigger picture to it.
The fact that he's almost split the support in terms of some folk would have preferred him to stay, some folk quite pleased or quite happy that he's gone, is really strange to me, considering the fact that obviously last season he scored 15 goals. I think it was like 38 games in total, I think he was. So it's almost, you know, goal every other game, which is a pretty good record no matter fit league you're in. Vast majority of his goals are very different. You know, you've got his headers for set pieces, corners. He was getting tap ins for inside the 6 yard box. Recall the goal against Clyde at Hame as well, beginning of the season, left footed corner for the edge of the box. So very different goals. So he can bring you different things, but he can also, on his day as well, I think he can hold up the ball pretty well as well and bring others into play as well.
Yeah.
And for this sort of split, I mean, we ran a poll as to see whether or not it was a good right thing or wrong thing for the club to let him go. And it was split 54-46. So it just shows you how sort of Marmite-ish he was with his supporters.
Yeah.
And maybe that's one thing it's been in his mind for wanting to leave, if indeed he has been the one that's instigated this.
Yeah, like I said, I'm sure there's rumblings on all this, but I think it's probably one of the decisions that Davies come in, obviously a couple of weeks ago, and this would probably be one of his first major decisions in terms of the fan base. I think players coming and going, you'll always sort of bat the manager, but as you said, this is one that some people wanted Rusty to stay. Some people, going by the social media comments, aren't too bothered that he's gone. Like you said, he's a bit Marmite. I think on his day, he's a good player, but I also think that when things weren't going well for him, you're quite easily down tools, and you're sometimes playing with 10 men. So that's the flip side. But who Davy brings in to replace him, which I would like to think there is someone in mind, or there's certainly negotiations somewhere happening, I think that will be pretty telling as well, because like I said, I think this is probably one of his first major decisions that he's made that has properly split the fan base.
Yeah, because I think we're expecting Kieran Shanks to kick on. He's now played 2 games, still hasn't scored yet. I'm not just entirely convinced that we're going to get the same level of goals from, say, Boris, for example, or even Gabriel. I think it's a forward player or an out-and-out striker is their sort of natural positions either. So you're right, there maybe is rumblings of somebody else coming in. He certainly said after his post-match on Saturday that there was going to be at least or there would have been another one had it not been for the paperwork on Saturday, so you're maybe looking at another 2 this week.
Yeah, and I think this is far. I think this week and next things will really start to ramp up. We're starting to, I mean, a lot of players have left. Okay, he's brought in a few, but when you're allowing players willingly to go, I think he's got to have something in mind, and especially with such a big game coming up on Saturday, I think he's got to get at least one more striker in. I don't think when going to the game with just Kieran Shanks and Boris, I think there's got to be somebody else coming in.
So, as you said, we'll just have to kind of trust the process and see how it pans out. The worst case scenario, of course, is we do finish 9th, Dumbarton, then I win the league, and we play each other in the playoff final. That would be obviously the biggest sort of icing on the cake for this season, wouldn't it?
Yeah, if there was anything to sum up, it would be Rusty scoring in the final to relegate Peterhead. You can just picture it already, can you? You really can.
Oh, well, we'll stick a fiver on that if that's how the things go in the end. Well, obviously, we have to get to 9th first, and that's the first and foremost with that. So let's get on to set of this game. Dundee United away from home, doing it at East End Park. Wasn't obviously the same result as the last time, was it? Was 4 goals as it was in the last game. However, it was Dunfermline that scored all 4. 2 goals either half. We've had a couple of days to kind of think about this. I'm not sure if I'm angry about this or if I'm just disappointed with the result and the performance. We'd rightly, I think, praised them for their performance against Montrose in terms of, you know, the sort of commitment and the pressing, and the tempo just seemed to be slightly different, and you've maybe felt as though that things were sort of turning the corner slightly. And to an extent, the same with the Airdrie game as well, obviously without the sort of 5-minute collapse at the end.
The death.
But this just seemed to be, it's almost like 1 step forward, 2 steps back.
Yeah.
And we were almost back to what we were, you know, in terms of like the Kelty game, Davies' first game in charge, for example.
Yeah, I thought it was quite a passive performance. I'm disappointed with this performance. Now, I came, I've said previously that this is one of them games that you probably didn't expect nothing on. But I did expect a better performance. I thought it was too easy for Dunfermline. I didn't feel they really got out of second gear. They were allowed to knock it around pretty well. Watched the highlights back, and again, my opinion hasn't changed. I thought it was too easy for them. And everything that we've praised them for, like you said, against Montrose and Airdrie, I thought that was quite lacking on Saturday, which is poor. And a few folk have mentioned that they were disappointed with the performance. Difficult to argue against it, to be honest. Like I said, it was too passive. We didn't really get a foothold of the game, even early on. Trying to quiet them didn't really happen. It was a completely different game to the 2-2 doing there. Yeah, I think overall this is probably the one that, okay, you take the Kilty game, Utoit, that was Davies' first game. This is probably the one that I was expecting a wee bit more from.
It's funny because you mentioned there about one of those games you're not expecting to get anything from, but at least you're looking for a performance of some kind. And it was almost as if, well, especially second half, it looked as though some of the players were like, hell, we're 2-0 doing it, that's it kind of thing. And it wasn't really until maybe sort of midway through the second half, there was a wee bit of maybe a 5-10 minute spell where there was chances being created. I mean, if I said chances created, I mean, maybe Fosu had won. That was deflected wide, and I mean, their keeper didn't have a save to make the whole game. I mean, look at the stats. I mean, they had 12 shots, 5 on target, scored 4 goals. We had 4 shots, none on target, no goals.
Yeah.
Possession ended up being 56-44. But I think at the end of the first half, I think you were looking more along the lines like 70-30.
Yeah, like I said, I think it was too passive. I think the game plan would probably have been trying to, you know, invite them to come into our half and then you go for the press. I think that's something he's trying. He's trying to get those trigger points. It didn't work on Saturday. I think their goals were too easy as well. You know, the second goal, I think, was a really good in. I think it was Matty Todd. He's just leaning back, beautiful curling effort. Kind of blame the keeper. I think he's got to be helped out defensively a lot better with a couple of the goals. But yeah, just very passive. And I think if you put in that sort of performance on Saturday against Clyde, now Clyde and I won, I think it's something like 17, 18 games, then, you know, they'll be looking at our performance. Granted, they got a heavy defeat as well, but they'll be looking at our performance at East End Park and thinking, we've nothing to fear going up to Ballymore, which, again, you're looking for a better performance going into such a big game on Saturday.
And I'm just looking for somebody to put a challenge in, you know, just somebody to get tackles in. Maybe somebody just in midfield, just to get their foot in the bar and just sort of just dictate the pace of the play, dictate the tempo for just for a spell. But there just doesn't seem to be anybody wanting to get on the ball. And that, we're repeating ourselves here slightly, but that comes from the fact that we're on this really crappy run that we're on. Nobody wants to make a mistake. And because you don't want to make a mistake, you then sort of regress into yourself a little bit more. Yeah. And nobody's demanding about nobody's wanting to make any errors.
We have a lot of strong characters, but I don't think we've got many leaders. And I think that's pretty evident on the park. You look around, yeah, I mean, I can't remember whether I said it on air or whether I just said it to you at the game, but I think Jason Brown the other week constantly, you know, trying to G the boys up. I think it might have been the actual Airdrie game before with the collapse. But he was, you know, he was trying to G the boys up, get them going. You know, every goal kick, he was trying to G them up, get them going. But, again, that only works so much. You need that to come from every player. And I think the younger lads that have come in, obviously, such a bad run that they've come into, it's difficult for them. But there needs to be somebody within that dressing room that goes, right, I'm going to take this by the scruff of the neck. It's easy for me to say that sitting here, saying that to you. But, you know, you've got to look around your dressing room and go, who is you? Like I said, you've got big characters, but who's your leaders to get us out of that? And I've got to admit, I look around and I could 2-3, and within a squad of the size that we've got, I think if ever Davey brings in, you're looking for strong leaders within that group as well.
And that was a point I think Davey was making at the end of the game as well. He made a point of picking out Jordan Brown in terms of being vocal on the pitch and trying to get the players G'd up, as you said. And you're right, he's maybe the only one. I think even Jason was quite quiet on Saturday. So, you know, Jordan coming off the bench and trying to, you know, G them up a little bit. It's too late then, you know, you're 2-0 down. And obviously then it gets worse. But having said that, there was that little bit of the passage of play where, you know, maybe he did make a wee difference.
Yeah, potentially, as you said, there was a 5-10 minute flurry. Nothing really to write home about. You're 2-0 down. But, you know, you're like, I go back, like, you're looking for leaders within that group, and I struggled to see. I think in years gone by, you look around and you'd say there's a lot of strong characters or a lot of leaders as well. But I think it's something that we're certainly lacking this season, and that could be part of our undoing as well.
The four goals, the first one we'll look at, and then this is disappointing. I mean, it starts from a throw-in in Dunfermline's right-back area. And you look at how deep we are, even at that stage, I think there was only two Peterhead players within the Dunfermline half. I think one of them was Kieran Shanks. He was making a wee attempt to try and close down the defenders. But just a simple ball up the left-hand side for the left-back, and the... It was Bislin was... I don't know if he was pressing too early or should have been a little bit further back, but there was a big gap doing that to left-hand side or right-hand side. And then the cross comes in. Joshua maybe a little too slow in getting back and tracking the runner, Whiten. It just, you know, error after error. You could, you've mentioned a few times over the years about, you know, picking out bits and pieces, but when it starts in the right-hand side, right back area, what, 2-3 passes, the bar's in the net, there's obviously a big problem somewhere.
Yeah, I think the pressing on the goal wasn't good, but Joshua, it was a strange game because when you watch it a couple of times back, he's got his man, and then within a split second, he's lost him. And when the striker gets goal side, you've got absolutely no chance of a ball in that area. It's a good finish by Whiting. He opened up his body, good curling effort. Again, I can't really blame Tom Ritchie for the goal either. He's probably hit it, you know, really early, and it's caught Tom a wee bit by surprise. But again, Joshua, he's got the strikers behind him, and then within a splash, the striker's nipped in. He's got to, I think he's got to be a bit smarter there. It's now, what is it, in his fourth game now. We've had three. He played Montrose, was good. Airdrie struggled with the wind, and then Dunfermline on Saturday. So, yeah, I thought he was good in his first game. There's just a couple of things creeping in. You're looking for him to be a lot stronger in that situation as well, even if he can't get his man. You know, I'm not saying you foul him because it'll be a red card, but you try and make sure a striker can't you there. So, yeah, disappointing all round from the press and from the goal side situation.
Yeah, he made his debut in the defeated Edinburgh. Then he got man of the match. Against Montrose and was well praised. I think he did really well. Then was openly criticised by his manager the very next day, next game, because he didn't do well against Airdrie. And then again, I think maybe this one, the lack of games for him in the last 6 months is maybe starting to catch up on him. But he's certainly it's a baptism of fire that he's had in the last three games.
Yeah, and that's true, and he hasn't played much games, and then he's thrown into, you know, four games within just like 3.5 weeks. So there is that as well. Davey's got to make sure he's looking after him as well. I'd say just a criticism of one player. You could go right through the team and pick out faults. I don't think sitting here and criticising everything for the game on Saturday will help. Like I said last week, it's one of them that if you get something from it, brilliant, but it's not one that's going to define how far we end the season at.
And if we thought that the first goal coming for the right back area was bad, the second goal came for a goal kick from Dunfermline, short goal kick. Nobody really pressing the centre half. He has time to give it to Chalmers. Chalmers has got, you know, the whole of East End Park.
To, got a freedom
to,
of faith.
Yeah, he the whole of the pitch to turn, make a pass, and it was as a long ball over the Jack Wilkie in the left wing back area, and again within sort of four passes, the bar's in the back of the net. Todd with a fantastic finish, as you mentioned earlier on, but it just allowing teams like Dunfermline to sort of have too much time in the bar, and you'll get killed.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you can look at a goal and you try and pick out far you've gone wrong as a defensive point of view. Sometimes you look at a goal and you go, yeah, it was well worked. As you said, ball over the top. I think it was heading towards the corner flag. It's then played inside. Somebody's left it and then sort of laid off, and Matty Todd a really good finish. So easy in that situation to blaze it over the bar, finish leaning back. And it's one of them. I kind of blame the keeper. Yeah, you could pick out faults of the defending. I just think it's a good goal, but it's far, far too easy from our point of view.
Two shots on goal, two on target, two goals. I mean, you couldn't have, for, on a deferment side of things, you couldn't have wanted it, the half to have gone any better.
No, and as you said last week, no, Dunfermline's home record, okay, they're challenging at the top, but their home record hasn't been that good. I think you mentioned last week four wins, but five draws at home. And the fact that they were 2-0 up previously to us and then got pegged back, I think the fact that they went 2-0 up, like I said, it was a completely different game. I didn't think Dunfermline ever looked in danger. You know, they'd have been delighted, two shots, two on target, and to go into break 2-0 up.
And as we said, second half was maybe slightly better, and I say slightly because we had that wee 5 minute spell maybe where we did get on top slightly. We had four shots, none of them were on target, and keeper didn't have a save to make. As I said, the Fosu one was deflected away. That's probably was our better chance. But on the flip side, you look at Dunfermline, if they had been more clinical in front of goal, they could have easily had sort of six or seven, and again, we've said that a couple of times this season already, but if they had been a little bit more clinical in front of goal, they could have easily won that game at a canter. And as we said, they were crying, they were creating chances after chances, and I just felt as though that as the game sort of progressed, some of the players were just almost sort of going through the motions as what they were previously.
Yeah, like I said, I think Dunfermline never really got out of first gear. I think, as you said, they could have won the game at a canter if they wanted, and there was an opportunity probably for 5, 6 and 7 if they really wanted it. We've seen, you know, from the conceded goals, the hedge drop. Unfortunately, that's nothing new this season, which is disappointing, but, you know, from we've conceded so much, I can sort of see why the hedge drop. East End Park, it's a, you know, on the face of it, it is a big pitch. There's a lot of ground to cover. But like I said, that game wouldn't determine whether we finish 9th or 10th, but you were just looking for you were looking for mere positivities to come out of it. There is, you know, you can get beat in a game like the Airdrie game. I thought we were good for 84 minutes until with the, you know, the collapse at the end. Whereas I'm struggling to pick out many positives from the game on Saturday, unfortunately.
Goal 3, if you watch the footage back again, at one point before Mockley lays off to Edwards, there's 7 blue shirts running about him, and not one gets close enough to make a challenge. I know Mockley's really good player. You know, he'll probably do well if he goes back to Dun United, but if you're not going to make any challenges, as I said, these teams will punish you. And the fact that he's had 7 players running about him, Edwards is in an acre of space, and then before you know it, it was 3-0.
Yeah, and that's when you said earlier on, you're looking for someone to make that challenge. It's okay getting bodies behind the ball and, you know, getting people back, but if you're not going to make that challenge, then it's irrelevant, you know, where your position is.
Yeah, and Mockley's travelled about 30, 35 yards with the ball as well. Which makes it even tougher to kind of take. You just, as I said earlier, you just want somebody to start putting challenges in.
Yeah, and I think the fact that, you know, hark back to it before, but the fact that you've lost such key players in the midfield area, Simon Ferry, Scott Brown, you know, obviously going even further back, you had Gary Fraser. These are guys that, you know, they liked a challenge. They liked going up against an opposite number. And at the moment, I just think we've got... players are too nicey-nicey. Like you say, you don't want them to make a challenge. You know, within reason, you know, you don't want a player just wiping somebody out and, you know, and they've been in the spirit of the game. But you're looking for somebody just to put their foot in the ball and, you know, make a challenge and, you know, give us something to go on. But, you know, if you've got 7, 8 players back, but they're not going to make a challenge, it's irrelevant how many you've got.
The fourth goal was the second goal to come down from their left, our right. Again, it was fairly straightforward. I mean, the ball was picked up by the centre half from the halfway line, and it sort of the dotted passes about nobody really making anywhere near the sort of effort to make any challenges, and it was just again just a ball across. There was an argument on the day who actually scored it, but I think it's been credited to O'Hara, who got it just on the line, I think. But you know, again, a really poor goal for us to concede at that stage.
Yeah, the only criticism I've got, was it the right game to put in our new right back? I waited on Farmland. There's maybe never a good time to put somebody in, but I certainly think there's, you know, Dunfermline away, obviously at least two of their goals, you could pick out the faults and go, well, it's doing your right hand side. Yeah. Dunfermline did their homework, which wasn't that hard to do. You know, you look at our new right back coming in, where he's been, what he's done, his age. I think Dunfermline have been smart. They've realised that it's a weaker area of our team. Big pitch, stretch the game. And I think they use it to their advantage.
And I think the fact that Dunfermline set up, it was 3-4-2-1, 3-4-3, if you want to call it that as well, and just sort of packed in that sort of third of our pitch, and really stretched the game. As you said, bringing in a new guy right back, only signed on the Friday. Has he had much time to get used to the system, used to the players? Maybe not. But having said that, as you said, you look at this game, it's a free hit, if you like, in terms of, well, it doesn't really matter because it's not going to determine where we're finishing the league. But, you know, that's probably another game where the confidence has gotten another hit, and where you've got a massive game the following week, you want to try and go in with a little bit of positivity.
The only thing I can think of is he's putting, like you said, he's putting a right back thinking it's almost a free hit with the full intention that he might play against Clyde. I certainly think there's better options to use at right back, but for some reason or another, it's not happening. I think, yeah, to me, it was a strange thing that obviously the right back signed on the Friday and then he's playing on the Saturday. But, you know, like I said at the start of the show, I think there is a bigger picture and, you know, you've got to trust what Davey's doing.
Yeah, and we just hope it all works out next week, because it is a big, big game. As you said, the way the results went last week as well, it just becomes even bigger. But you certainly want to go into it with the more confidence than what seems to be at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Davey's got a tough job this week in terms of motivating them. But I also think personal pride should be coming into the game on Saturday. I mean, I think if you lose to Clyde, you're pretty much nailed on to finish 10th. I kind of see far we would pick up, you know, at least two more wins, considering we've got one our season. We've won one game in about 6 months, I think, but it's a horrendous run. So he's got to get the players in the right frame of mind to go on Saturday, and I think his team selection will be massive as well.
Final thought on Saturday's game then. Ryan Strachan played in, that was his 300th game for the club. Obviously, it's over two spells, so it makes you kind of wonder how much he would have been on, yeah, had he not moved on in 2017. But just the fourth player to be on 300 games since we came into the Football League. Rory McAllister being obviously the top, Martin Babbage and Graham Sharp being the other three. It's a nice wee milestone to have. Obviously, near the game he would have liked to have, or the result it would have gone, because he was hooked at half time. Yeah. I wonder if that has anything to do with the game coming up, keeping him fresh. Noted that Sharks came off quite early on in the second half as well. He was on the booking, so obviously maybe that was the thinking of that. But Ryan Strachan has done reasonably well, I think, since he's come back this season. Played a couple of different positions, mainly in a holding midfield role, in that the defensive midfield role. A few times he's played at centre-half, but another fantastic servant for the club over the years.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a strange time for him to come back. Club's, you know, really struggling. He's tried. I think things over the last couple of weeks maybe just isn't quite been there for him. But I think, you know, coming off at half-time on Saturday, probably not the way he wanted the milestone to end, coming off at half-time. But I certainly think that's what I view to Saturday, same way with Kieran Chance coming on. But, you know, terrific that he's got in 300 appearances, and like you said, you just wonder what could have been had he now left the club, you know, what is it now, 7 years ago? Hard to believe.
Mm-hmm. So we wish him well, and hopefully he gets a few more appearances with that. I think the next milestone, I think Jordan's on 255, so whether or not he'll push on, obviously I think he'll need another season if he's to get that. We could see Jason entering the top 10 by the end of this season as well, if all goes well and he does get suspended at any time over the next few games. So we'll see with that one. Just something slightly different. We asked you for any sort of topics or questions that you wanted us to kind of look at. As a few have come in, we'll get through them. One question here, how come we seem to be getting worse? Usually when a team gets a new manager, you get the new manager bounce. We don't seem to have gotten that. We seem to have gotten worse. I think the simple answer for this is, if we knew, then we'd be able to change it. Obviously, we can't. But I think if you look at Clyde in terms of their change of management as well, obviously they changed just a few weeks before we did, brought in Jim Duffy, got a couple of draws, first couple of games, and then have gone back to the sort of losing ways again. So they maybe just haven't had the bounce as well. So it's interesting that the two sides that are really struggling even with a new manager as well.
Yeah, I think the quality within the division as well, you know, it's not if it was 3-4 years ago, it's a lot better now than I think I've ever seen it. And I think our recruitment in the summer, you know, it's been well documented, it wasn't good enough. I would have liked to have seen Merrill a bounce from David come in, I'll agree with that. Whether we've gotten worse, whether that's on the back of this Saturday's performance, I think the Montrose, you've seen signs of improvement. Again, there were signs of improvement for 85 minutes against Airdrie. But ultimately, out of the two games I thought there was improvement, it still only yielded 1 point. So, yeah, I think I'd have liked to have seen more of a bounce from Davey come in. And I think Saturday's game will probably give us a real indication of where we're going to be next season.
And you only change manager for two reasons. One is if your manager's doing really well and he gets a move to a bigger club, which, you know, is rare in that kind of sense. The other reason is if your team's really struggling, the results aren't coming in, and your manager moves on, or he's sacked, or whatever the terminology may be at that time. So when a new manager comes in, generally speaking, you may well be inheriting what's deemed to be poor players, players that the new manager wouldn't necessarily be bringing in anyway. And that's the situation that we're in. You know, the results haven't been good enough, the manager's left, the new manager's come in, he's had to kind of look at the squad and go, well, he needs to go, he needs to go, he needs to go, he needs to go, they aren't good enough, and I need to bring in new ones, ones that I want to bring in, ones that I think are good enough. And I think that's what's happening here. It might be a slow process, it might work out in the end, before the end of the season, but we just have to wait and see, and that bounce may come.
Yeah, you're hoping for once the window closes in January, you're hoping that that'll be a team that Davey's more comfortable with than he was, you know, in the 1st of January. You're looking for that bounce. I think we've got Clyde next month as well. But the quality within the squad, you know, it's been poor. The recruitment was poor in the summer. I think we let too many players go, I think, in the space of 3 weeks. It was almost like a mass exodus of players leaving. You know, and I think the club's got to protect themselves that doesn't happen again this season.
Another question come in. It's two questions, really. What has happened to Lauren Van Rooy, and is Jack Brown injured? Again, simple answer for the first one. We don't know what's happened to Lauren Van Rooy. We spoke about this last week. He's no longer on the website. He was allowed to play again for us in January after the sort of administrative error or not picking up the fact that he was an amateur and things like that. So he should be available. We just don't know what the situation was with that is. If we know, we'd let you know, but we don't. Jack Brown injured? I don't think he is. I don't think he's been liked by the manager at the moment, and that's again just purely due to the fact that he's a regular all season, and I would put him down as being a consistent 7 out of 8, 7 out of 10, 8 out of 10 kind of a player, being fairly consistent. And then new manager comes in, played the first two or three games, and then is onto the bench, and maybe just a victim of the manager wanting to change things?
Yeah, I mean, it happens sometimes. As a fan, you can look at a player and think he's doing well. The manager, for whatever reason, doesn't fancy him. Maybe doesn't fancy his system or his style that he's wanting to play. I'd be surprised if there wasn't some sort of niggling injury. I think he's one of them players that he's better in your team than he is sitting at home or just sitting on the bench. I certainly hope that there's anything else happening in the background. Nothing that we're aware of. But yeah, I'd like to see Jack coming back into the fold, hopefully sooner rather than later.
There's a question here about the fitness and is the more pressing game. As the last couple of games, we've pressed higher up the pitch. Could this be a result of the players using more energy? And I think we mentioned certainly after the energy game, you just felt as though the energy had sort of sapped out of them. And maybe it's a different fitness regime. The manager brought in a different sort of training regimes. All these things are different. But you would like to think that the players are fairly fit. But it was interesting, somebody had mentioned in the comments last week, I think it was, about the fact that last season we were being praised by other teams about how well our fitness was and how well we were sort of still, you know, doing all the running towards the end of the game, whereas this season it seems to be the exact opposite. And maybe that I put that down to the fact that a lot of these players that have come in have been out of football or not playing as much. Maybe that's the difference. There is such a thing as match fitness and fitness, and maybe that's where the difference is coming from.
Yeah, I certainly think early on in the season the fitness levels were really poor. We mentioned that a few times at a game, that even at half-time players were struggling, shall we say. And I think even Davey said in one of his post-match comments maybe 2-3 weeks ago that he said he wasn't happy with the intensity of the warm-up. Now, that's unusual. You don't often get comments about how you warm up and what you... I mean, even half-time's changed. It used to just be a kickabout. Sometimes it'll now be drills. So I can he's mentioned the fitness before. There are a couple more weeks further on, but again, you're looking for players to, you know, this should now be the peak of their fitness regime as well.
Yeah, final one then. Simple question: do you know where the training is at? Yes, it's still in Dundee. Yep. Twice a week, as far as we are led to believe. I think that where everybody's training was not being split like it was before, so it's still at Dundee. Saturday's game against Clyde, home to Clyde. This is the rearranged game from a couple of weeks, 2-3 weeks ago, back in December. It was called off because of the weather, which is quite ironic.
It's ironic this week.
As I sit here and look out my window, I see the snow belting down again here. Hopefully it's not going to be off again, because that would be just be a right kick in the teeth. We called it the biggest game of the season back then. I think this is probably still the same for both clubs. This is massive. Certainly massive for us in terms of getting out of this run and getting up into ninth. Safe to say, I think eighth is well out of our reach now. Although Queen of the South are still struggling a little bit, and they lost again on Saturday. But this is, without a doubt, the biggest game of the season so far.
You're fairly being an optimist, if you've mentioned Queen of the South, considering we've got them in 2 weeks' time. You're looking for a six-pointer.
Yep.
This is the biggest game of the season. There's no two ways to look. I mean, a couple of folk at work today were saying, would you take a point? No. And that's a simple answer, no. You've still got to go down to, I think it's Hamilton that Clyde play at now.
Yep.
Is it New Douglas Park? Artificial pitch as well. So, to me, it's got to be 3 points. Anything less, and I think you're really going to struggle. And I think that it's a psychological thing. If you can get that win, it then means that Clyde would continue their run of 18, 19, whatever it is, without a win. And it would be a massive lift for us. It would be our second win. So, yeah, to me, it is a really massive game. I cannot understate it. It's really, really important.
And I think they would probably take a point, funnily enough.
I think they would
take a point, because obviously that just keeps the gap. We have to win this game, and if we win the game, obviously we then go above them. As you said, psychological thing, you know, we'll go above them, we'll be off the bottom for the first time in Chris knows how long, and they'll be at the bottom as well. So, you know, there's no two ways away. This is a game that we have to win. We talked about the Dunfermline game being a game that we can almost write off before we've even kicked off. This is the game that we have to win.
Yeah, and we've mentioned that a few times, that the first goal is going to be absolutely massive. And given the fact that it would be mid-November, early November now, that we last scored a goal, I think it's going to be massive. If we can get the goal and take the lead, the whole psychological factor of it as well, I generally think it'll be massive. And you know, if you can take the lead and the psychological thing of Clyde then becoming bottom, you know, how do they react? Because I think they'd be quite happy with a point, whether they'll set up defensively to try and get a point, knowing full well that we are not exactly free scoring. I think the team lineups will just be as important in the game as well.
The thing with them is that they've gone 18 without a win, but they've only failed to score 7 times in those 18 games, whereas we're on a run of, you know, 14 in the league without a win, but we're on a run of now of having scored in 6. Although they are losing games, they can still score. That's the key thing. I think if you're looking for a slight advantage for either side, is the fact that, you know, we couldn't hit a Cousers with a banjo at the minute, whereas they can score a goal, maybe concede to the other end, but, you know, that might be the key difference.
Both managers will pick out the positives for both teams. I think the positive from us is if we can get a win, we put them bottom. Clyde will be thinking, Jim Duffy will be saying to his team, even if they do score, you know, they're leaking goals, they're fragile at the back. If Peterhead take the lead and you get back into it, their heads are going to drop. So, you know, it's mind games. It'll come into play towards the end of the week. Like I said, I think Davey's got a big job this week trying to get the players confidence up and trying to install a bit of confidence within them. It'll be a massive game. Like I said, I think team lineups, systems for both sides will play a huge part in it.
And you mentioned earlier on, we'll play them again next month. It is virtually 4 weeks later, on the 18th of February, is when we play them again. That is away from home. And then we play them again at home, third final game of the season, which could be a massive game by that time as well, depending how other results go. So we still have to play them 3 times, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. This is the one that we need to win, and this is our sort of cup final, if you like.
Yeah, and if you can get a win on Saturday, you know, Clyde won't exactly be delighted when we go down there in a month's time, kind of full well that, you know, we've already beat them, you know, 4 weeks later. Like you said, let's say, run before we can walk. We've still got a game on Saturday today, and we haven't scored since, you know, mid-November. So we're not exactly free-flowing with goals coming in. We're struggling, and there's a reason why we're bottom. But, you know, if there was ever a time to turn your fortunes around, it's against a team that hadn't won in 18.
Yeah, 6 games now in the league without a goal. Funnily enough, it was Jim's last game at Airdrie. Was the final goal Jason Brown scored it. So we've had 7, I think, as well in all competitions, with the cup game as well, the Scottish Cup tie that Davey Nicks took on as well. So that's 7 games now without a goal. That is a hell of a long time not to score in the league. Traditionally, in a league where, you know, you may lose games, but, you know, you will sort of almost guarantee yourself you're going to score goals. So, yeah, confidence in front of goal is pretty low at the moment. You know, creating chances is all well and good, but, you know, if we do get any chances in this game, we're going to have to take them.
Yeah, I think absolutely, yeah, you're bang on. We didn't create that many chances, so the ones that you do, you've got to make sure that they're good quality. I think you're looking for the set pieces to be vastly improved as well. It's been a bugbear of mine for years now within the team, set pieces. But I go back to, I think, the first goal on Saturday. You know, you're hoping it comes from us, but it's going to be absolute massive. I think also that the longer the game goes at 0-0, should that be the case, you know, who's going to blink first? Both managers decide, you know what, they'll take a point, the gap doesn't change. Does Davey try and, you know, force it, but then leave gaps at the back? And he's coming up against Jim Duffy, who's been around the block. He knows how to, to deal with teams. So I think it'll be a fascinating, you know, contest between the managers and how they react to each other's, you know, tactics on the sideline. It's just a case of, can you get your players to perform as well?
And at this stage as well, you know, you take a 1-0, you take it, you know, a massive deflection off a free kick or something like that, or just only a thing just to go our way, because we are due a bit of luck at some stage.
Yeah, I mean, you make your own luck. You mentioned the cow and the banjo earlier on. You'll take anything that goes your way, a deflection, whatever. But Clyde's probably thinking the same. But again, it can't understate how important a game it is. And hopefully we get a good crowd at Balmoor to back us. I think that the fans that have turned up, especially Montrose and Airdrie in recent weeks, they can see what Davey's trying to do. They can see there was a little bit of an improvement in those games. And you're hoping the crowd get behind Davey and the players and try and gene them on for 3 points.
Yeah, that was the sort of next point I was going to bring up, is the fact that how big this game is, we're going to need as many people get into this game as possible. You know, show them that we still have the faith that we can get out of this situation, and hopefully our support coming off the stands goes onto the park and lifts the players as much as it can.
I think Davey mentioned it, was it after the Airdrie game, that he felt that the supporters were behind it. It's a two-way thing. We need something on the pitch to be able to get behind. You know, it's simple things like throwing your body in front of a block, or, you know, trying something different. It needs to be both ways. And again, if you can get a good crowd in on Saturday to help the lads, then it would be, you know, a massive bonus.
Okay, joining me now from the Clyde FC podcast is Paul Shanks. Paul, welcome along, welcome back. How are you?
Thanks, Colin. Good to be back on, and hopefully the game gets a go-ahead after this.
I was just going to wait to say, I mean, it's only just been a matter of weeks since we spoke. Obviously, the game got postponed because of the weather, and it's safe to say, even in that matter of what, 3-4 weeks, nothing has sort of really changed in terms of the fortunes of the two sides. You obviously have a new manager now for a couple of months now, maybe 6-7 weeks. Have you seen any sort of a dim light in the distance of the tunnel yet?
The feeling amongst the Clyde supporters now, I'll be wary, obviously I do have a role at the club. It feels as though that early doors we saw a wee chink of light, we saw some real, you know, progressive performances. Perhaps not the full results. I think I mentioned that when I was on a couple of weeks back with the games against Dunfermline and Falkirk in particular. We looked really, really good. We looked good going forward again. But at the moment, I think, especially on Saturday, there was a feeling as we left the Falkirk Stadium that if there is a light there, we're reversing away from it now rather than trying to carry it towards it. That's not to say that it's been, how can I put this without sounding like a happy papa, there's been moments in games where, dare I say it, if we just had a wee bit more street kind of know-how, that kind of toughen it out, don't know if there's that mentality in the current set of players, or if they haven't, they've maybe just not shown it enough. The amount of goals we are conceding late in games is becoming a bit of an epidemic for us now, to be quite honest. I was doing a wee bit of prep ahead of coming on here and for our own show, and I calculated roughly, I think it's about 7 points lost from conceding goals just in the last 10 minutes of games. And albeit, that's only one victory that it would have tipped us. But that would have been our first victory since the 13th of August, yeah. 2022, in the league anyway. So it wouldn't make things a whole lot better. But when you consider that, in particular, one team that we've conceded very, very late on and it's cost us, was Queen of the South. We were a wee bit closer to them. They would have also have lost some points and picked up very late in games against us. It would give you that wee hope that we're both clinging to at the moment. Now it very much feels that both ourselves and Peter Head are very much the castaways now in the league. It's you go and have your own wee fight, as we were joking about on Twitter at the weekend, and who can tough it out and get ninth now. And Saturday, I don't know how you'll feel about it, but from a high perspective, it's don't lose. Because I think if we do, the momentum is just so against us right now. It would be really tough to see the players bouncing back.
It's interesting you said don't lose, because when we were recording there, we're saying it's a game we have to win. And we maybe thought you guys would be okay with a point to an extent. Is that a fair judgment to say that?
Absolutely. Before Saturday, I would have said no. But whilst we are very much at this 10-point mark, and we've just, that's our ceiling, we can't break it, which is quite sad. About 21 league games in. But I think if we somehow manage to maybe got something from Falkirk at the weekend, whether it was the game panned out, that it was remotely feasible, I would be 100% in the don't lose it camp. A point is great. However, there's still another two games to come between ourselves. And one of them is obviously for ourselves away from home, and our record is appalling, quite frankly. You'll love it, of course, quite rightly. So it would be the same if the shoe's in the other foot. But generally speaking, Peterhead have been our hockey team for as long as we face each other, really. I mean, you go over down the amount of victories, barely going into two hands, I would think.
Yeah, I think the vast majority of them have been since Jim McAnally was in charge. He's just somehow managed to get one over his no matter what, and then we could be in a really bad run, 3-4 games without a win, and then just pull off it's fine, it's another 3 points at least. We're going to get a 3 points against Clyde, but you know, it is at that stage now this season where this game is massive, and then as you said, the repercussions of that with the next two after that. I mean, it's only a month's time again before we play each other, and then the final game is I think it's the third final game of the season. So I mean, the in terms of where they are in the calendar, they're big games, and it's really weird to say, but as you said, it's almost just like a little mini league between the two of us now. Whereas we just any lasting or lingering hopes of eighth as well gone now.
No, I mean, I think we touched upon it when the last game. We thought there's a wee chance. Just a couple of results in the right way. And I think at the time we were 13, I think, behind Kelty, game in hand, and we were due to play them. And yeah, unsurprisingly, we went all a bit wrong. And they were 16 points ahead of us. And it could have been a bit different. But that said, you cannot look beyond these three games or cup finals.
Yeah,
we love a cliche on our show. We love it, but as far as the predicament, I think we can call it, that both our clubs are in, these are three absolutely massive games. The next, you know, 2 or 3 weeks in the 2 weeks now, sorry, in the transfer market will probably have a large bearing on how the kind of last two set up. I know obviously there's been quite a turnover in the squad and yourselves, even before I think Jim McAnally departed, but again, further by all accounts of certain players that we've seen that I thought when they were free, let's get them on the board, see if they fancy we join to New Douglas Park. So I've been impressed with some of the signings Peterhead have made. We've dipped our toes in, at least to the market. We've got Dan Hines, who's a kind of jack of all trades, can play right back, midfield. I think even centre half, although he's not the tallest. But true to the way our season has panned out, he got himself suspended for Saturday, beginning sent off against Falkirk. So we're struggling for numbers. Hopeful that Jim and the board and the scouting department are running their batteries dry and trying to get some bodies in ahead of Saturday, because we need them, especially in midfield at the moment. We are extremely light. I think since we spoke, Mo Gomez has left. It may have been just before, I think, maybe we spoke. We've now lost Reid Gahan for the rest of the season. Despite it being a hideous season for ourselves, Reid Gahan has been probably the most consistently good performer. That's not to say he's been outstanding in all games, but as far as a better performer, he's certainly one that we would highlight, and he was key to our midfield. He's very good at reading the game, breaking play, keeping things simple, which we haven't done enough of. So to lose Ray, it's a cruciate ligament injury, so it's a bitter, bitter blow. And then when Darren came in, slotted into his place against Falkirk on Saturday, and we've lost him now for at least one game. I don't think this is challenging or appealing the red card decisions. Well, it was kind of borderline one, so it's a big week for Jim, even before a ball's kicked.
If you're looking for sort of any little bits of things to maybe go your way slightly, obviously you're on this really bad run of 18 games without a win, but at least within those games you can, you're still hitting the back of the net with some goals. We're now in a run where we haven't scored a seven. You know, so it's nice setting up to be a classic game, let's put it that way. But the fact that you guys can get a goal now and again, does that give you any sort of a little bit of hope that maybe things will go your way slightly?
It has to. I mean, we've actually scored more goals in the league than Celtic, who are two places above us in the league, and I don't know how many points at this rate I've stopped counting. But yeah, I think there's maybe a goal or two in that column, so it's maybe punching a wee bit. But we've scored on average at least one goal a game, over a goal a game average, which isn't brilliant. But on paper, it should be enough to see you picking up more points. I mean, ultimately, the aim of the game is to score. You don't score, you don't win. Unfortunately, as part of that memo, we forgot the bit about don't concede a shed load at the same time. That's been a big, big issue. I think there's 46 goals in the league we've conceded. And as I touched upon earlier, over a third of them in the final 15 minutes of games is really, really poor, and it's something that we, if we could cut that out, I think we would be fine for ninth. But it's a big if at the moment, because it's time and time again we get to that point in a game, even when we were trying to see out the game against the game's merging at one, and we conceded late on, and it was just, I don't know if it was a belief thing at this point. When we're on this type of run, I don't think it's bad enough as a fan, but the players must be, and both squads, not maybe not so much dejected, but beyond frustrated at this point, especially if you're feeling that you're putting enough into a game on the whole that be enough normally to maybe at least
sneak
a point for time to time.
Peter Higwin obviously puts us above you guys, and obviously you selected 10th. From a psychological a point of view, you on this run, you hit 10th, you hit bottom. How a massive a blow would that be to any confidence that you've still got?
It wouldn't be the knockout blow, but I would say it's going to be a solid 9th round. It's once we get back up, how steady are we going to be on our feet? Can we come back swinging? And that's the real concern I have if we were to lose in Saturday. And that's just speaking as a fan, not necessarily within Pop's psyche or thoughts. That's just purely my heart speaking here. Knowing and speaking to quite a few of the players, I do think that they would be the first to say, no, we can still get ourselves out of this. We've got a top goal scorer in the league. And we've got 10 points. So, we've got some of the tools there. Do they need enhanced? Yes. Will they be enhanced enough in time for Saturday to ensure that Peterhead can deliver this uppercut to us? Who knows? Fingers crossed on that front. I'm not giving you any exclusives here, Colin, I'm afraid. Hopefully I've got one from my own show. It's a big 5 days, and I said it earlier, but Jim's probably got more work to do away from the training ground than he will in the two training sessions he's got this week. If we can come down the road in ninth place, no damage done, I don't think a club fan would be disappointed. If we were to somehow get those 3 points, I would hope that club fans don't think that's it, job done. But we still need to keep going. And at best ninth place, you have to try and get some momentum, some type of form, if you can call it that, ahead of any potential playoff. And that would go for either team here as well, but speaking selfishly, that's my hope for Clyde at this stage. And yeah, it would be nice if we could have a collapse or Kelty, but it's just unrealistic at this stage. They're both well placed now, probably aim for fourth. There is it, because it's bunched up. So we've got to maybe try and have a say at least in what happens above us and try and make it benefit ourselves. But I couldn't call it right now. I really couldn't call it.
As I said, I don't think it's going to be a classic game, and it wouldn't surprise me if it's you know, helter skelter, gung ho kind of thing from either side, or if it's really cagey and sort of both sides really sort of feeling it is just a matter of the result at the end of the day, isn't it?
Yeah, and I don't know how you would feel that if you were to say just get the point, would you see it as a bad thing?
No, I think from the perspective of we are facing you and we need to be above you. If we draw, that gap's still the same. You're probably heartbroken, but we need to win this game, because if we then are back to relying on other results and other teams to continue and beat you, because at some point you're going to turn it round. As much as I'd like to see you continue losing, at some point you're going to pick up a victory somewhere that nobody's going to see coming. And if we didn't beat you, and then that victory comes and we lose again, suddenly that draw becomes null and void.
Yeah. And one of the biggest things that we've kind of felt, it was the safety blanket, was the goal difference. But that was always when there was maybe an extra couple of points on it. Now, one victory for yourself on Saturday changes everything. The goal difference is no, it's maybe still a factor, but it's now completely out with our hands. So, yeah, it feels like I'm saying this every weekend. Try and limit the damage, first and foremost. Don't get any worse position, and then there's hopefully we can build for that.
Paul, it's been a pleasure speaking to you again. We started the episode, Michelle and Martin, speaking about it being Blue Monday, and it's certainly, if you listen to this sort of section, it certainly turned into slightly more depressing. But it's good to kind of get it off our chest and know that we're not alone in this kind of mire as way things go.
I think if nothing else, there's a commercial opportunity, I think, for the next couple of games, whatever happens on Saturday, because I think a lot of people surely look at the position both their clubs are in and see that this is a right old scrap now. That I'd be phoning up Sky, however, and saying, hey, pay-per-view event here, guys, look at this. Two teams scram out for the lives at the bottom of Scottish football. What's better than sending TV cameras up to Peterhead and watching Clyde bag a last-minute winner?
you almost got me, but right at the end there, you lost me. Are they good at? So on that note, on that note, then Paul, I'll thank you again for coming. On. Pleasure speaking to you. Hopefully, as I said, it'll end up being an entertaining game, but I kind of see it. But we'll see what happens, and we'll maybe have that Rami at the before the game as well.
And as they say, I think it's Clyde's club motto, it's the hope that kills you. So, yeah, who knows? We'll see what happens.
And that is it for this week. We do hope you have enjoyed it. My thanks to Paul from the Clyde FC podcast for joining me and to Martin Smith for his insight. As always, a big thank you to you all for listening and for your comments and questions. Do keep them coming in. I've been Colin Byers. Myself and Martin will be back again next week. So until then, stay safe and we'll see you all again very soon.